Lord, that I might see again. Or Master, let me see. This prayer, said by Bartimaeus, was unique among the many miracles of Christ. Our Lord healed many, brought back to life many, worked extraordinary miracles, but rarely do we have the name of the individual who was healed, and also the place where he lived, Jericho. Jericho represents the old world. In fact, Jericho, at the time of Christ, was already 8,000 years old. It's claimed to be the oldest inhabited city on earth. So it's 10,000 years old today. I think it's about 18,000 people. It doesn't look flash, but the archaeological diggings around Jericho are fascinating. It's the old world, and Bartimaeus had sight but lost his sight. And because there was no social welfare, he was now a beggar. He is the son of Timaeus. In ancient Greek times, the word Timothy or Timaeus was common. Plato had in his dialogues a Timaeus. And our Lord is passing by, leaving the old city, Jericho, and going to the new, Jerusalem. He passes by, and the presence of Christ, the Lord, touches the heart and mind of Bartimaeus, who begins to pray and is insistent in his prayer. Even when he is discouraged and scolded by others, he continues. The son of Timaeus is calling on the son of Adam. I need help. Our Lord stops. Our Lord is the center. Our Lord is the pivot. All are drawn to him. So too, because of his prayer, Bartimaeus is called to the Lord. But he has to firstly throw off his cloak, throw off his old ways, his sinfulness, his bad habits. He has to come into the presence of Christ, innocent, to be filled with God's grace. And he comes before the Lord, and I cannot help but wonder whether he was kneeling. And our Lord knows what he wants, but nevertheless, he asks him. Our Lord knows what we need, but he wants us to ask him. And he says, Lord, that I might see. He's told, go, your faith has saved you. His sight returns, and he follows the Lord as a disciple. Now, without light, there is no sight. Without light, you cannot see. Our Lord is the light of the world, the light that illumines Bartimaeus and gives him the sight he's so much sought after. That's the story as such, but if we drop it down to a deeper level, Bartimaeus, B-A-R at the beginning of these Hebrew words, means son of. Barabbas means the son of Abba, the son of man. So Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. His father's name was Timaeus, or Timothy, which in Hebrew means the worthy one. He who is worthy, or she who is worthy. Everyone is worthy of the presence and healing of Christ. We are all called from the old world, the world where God is not, to the presence of Christ on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem. We are all called, we are all worthy, but we must do what the son of Timaeus did. To be healed by Christ, we must pray. We must open our hearts to the presence of Christ. And then we must persevere in that prayer. How many people come back to their faith or are baptized, come for a while and drop off? How many people begin to say the rosary in October but then stop? How many people would like to go to an extra mass or devotions but are discouraged by others? They're scolded and told, you don't have to do that. Oh, not many go to Mass today. It doesn't matter. You're a good person after all. We want to be worthy. We want to be healed. We want to be filled with the sight of Christ. Many today are blind, spiritually blind. They cannot see. Christ wants to give them sight. He wants to give them insight regarding their life, but they remain blind because they do not persevere in prayer. or they're discouraged by the culture in which we live. We, however, are not. We shall be like the son of Timothy, the son of Timaeus, the children of the worthy ones. We shall come into the presence of God, and we shall throw off those things that burden us and inhibit us from being in his presence. And then we shall say to the Lord, Lord, that I might see your will in my life. Help me to have the insights, the graces I stand in need of, to persevere until the end. Can you imagine Bartimaeus in the early Christian community after Mark had written his gospel? Oh, you're the one! Your dad's name is Timothy. You came from Jericho. What a joy would have filled his heart because his name was written down. What joy will fill our hearts when our name is written in the book of life at the end of time. But that won't happen unless we throw off those things that burden us and come into his presence to receive the sight of God, the insights of faith, which are real. How many priests have been saying mass, or perhaps at a confirmation or a funeral, and today, because the world is so secular, people have come into a church carrying their cappuccino. I've seen people come in with some chips, and I've had to stop them at the door and say, look, this is a church, it's not a hall, it's not a cinema. Could you please leave these things outside or consume them before you come in? Oh, well, I went to sleep, I'm just like, no, you've missed the point. We're entering into a holy place, the presence of God. They just don't see. They lack the sight. They're spiritually blind. How many people walk into Mass and have no idea what's happening? You do. You've received the light of Christ. And with that light comes insights, knowledge. You know there's bread and wine down there that will be brought up in the offertory. And then during the Eucharistic prayer, at the consecration, when we're kneeling and the bells are rung, a mysterious change happens in the order of Melchizedek. Not the Levite order of old, but the new order brought about by Christ in his sacraments, that bread and wine will become his body and blood. The mystery of faith that is ancient. We believe, we cannot see, but we know, because we have the light of Christ. We have this insight of faith. But someone walking in who doesn't know, doesn't see, therefore they are not aware of the reality, the presence of Christ in their midst. We cannot cope in the world today unless we have these insights, unless we are in his presence. We will not follow him like Bartimaeus. We will not cope with the cross when it comes. We will not cope with obstacles put in our way unless we have the presence of Christ. A few years ago, a priest who had studied and worked in Rome told me the story that one day he was walking dressed like a priest home from the office, and as he turned the corner, a man came running up to him. The crowd was a busy street, and the man came right up to his face and spat on him, in his face, over his glasses, laughed and ran off. The priest said, initially I was outraged, disgusted, angry, pulled off his glasses, started to clean himself up. Then an insight came, and the insight transformed the reality to a moment of joy. Because as he's cleaning his glasses, he felt sorry for the man who spat at him. He felt sorry for that man and pitied him from within, and then realized, I am not worthy. It's a Friday. Christ was spat on, who was innocent on a Friday, for my sake and my sins. And the priest realized, I have been found worthy to suffer what Christ suffered, to put up with what Christ put up with. What a blessing. You see, that's an insight. Transforms an ugly moment, a bitter moment, into one that can give joy to the heart. And that's what the Christian faith does. That's what Christ does. His presence can turn things upside down, make the suffering of someone with cancer for somebody else a source of grace. For nothing is wasted in God's presence. Let us therefore pray, we who are worthy, the worthy ones, the sons and daughters of God, that we might like Bartimaeus, throw off those things that bind us and come into his presence, and that we too might go and ask the Lord that I might see your will for me in this world, your will each day in my life. Praise be Jesus Christ.